I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Turn off. Leave the room. Let me fix this. I gotta fix this.
Welcome to Manic Rambling Spiral. I am John R. Gray.
And I am Heather B. Armstrong.
And I am... less than, three full days now into puppy ownership.
Three full days,
because it was Saturday morning, and what the fuck? You were not the only person who told me it would be harder than having a baby, and that seems impossible because kids are pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
It is so much harder,
mm-hmm.
because they don't stop uh-huh. moving.
Uh-huh.
But it's not just moving. They don't want to just like run around. Like, you have to interact.
Uh-huh.
And I will say, fortunately, she is sleeping through the night in her crate. So that's been great.
Oh, fuck and you. It happened that fast?
I don't know why, but here's the thing. So she's in her crate, and like her bed is on one side, and because she's still potty training, like there's that pee pad on the other half in case she needs to use it. She just tears the shit out of it every night. Like, the entire thing is torn to shreds. I think she does it in the morning, but she's never had an accident in her crate. Like, she just doesn't use it, doesn't care. But she sleeps. She whines for maybe the first, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes after going in, but then sleeps through the night. And she's up at like 5:15.
Uh-huh.
Which, I'm a morning person. And I swear to God, the next person who says, oh, that's great, she's on your schedule, fuck them. Because I love mornings when I have to get up and make a pot of coffee and work quietly. But this is like, open the kennel, she's this little black tornado of fangs. And does not stop going for an hour and a half. Like, walks out in the yard, playing with toys, crazy. Then she crashes, and I'm done for the day. Like, I'm just done. And then by that point, you know, it's 7 a.m. So in summary, it was a really great decision. And
question.
I don't know what to do.
Does she... So you did name her Lily.
I did name her Lily, yes.
And guys, he sent me a video of her.
I did.
What is it called? A puppuccino?
She was enjoying a puppuccino from Starbucks, yes.
A little shot of whipped cream, right?
Yeah. I mean, when you have a dog that can basically fit into a venti cup, I feel like it's necessary to do that.
This is the most precious video I've ever seen. And I'm so glad that we're talking about this because I need to calm the fuck down. I just need to get that out. Heather's got to calm the fuck down because so much is happening and my children are like, can't pay attention to anything. So
I should just keep sending you puppy videos?
Yeah. It's great. Like, talking about puppies is great. Is she biting or grabbing things or chewing on things?
Everything, yes. All of the things. Although it's weird, like the hardest part of the day is morning, like until mid-morning, until like 10, 11 o'clock in the morning is the hardest because she's got a ton of energy and a lot of that comes out in her teeth. But as the day progresses, that fades. And I think the, like how hard she's biting kind of calms down as well. But oh yeah, she bites fingers, clothes, toes, shoes. She has toys and we've been really good about making, like having those available so she can bite those. She bites my beard, which is awesome. That does not hurt at all. And yeah, basically everything.
Oh my God.
I was just researching puppy training in my area before we started recording, actually, because holy hell, she's in so many ways very, very, very good. And she'll, like, as I'm getting her food ready, she just sits patiently in the middle of the kitchen and waits for it. And then eats and then becomes a maniac again. But overall, she does really well. It's just...
it's a lot. Wow. Yeah, so their teeth come out. They get their baby teeth start falling out, I believe, around week 16, just so you know.
Okay, so I've got, like, another 6 weeks.
Well, and if you don't cure her of the biting or the nipping, she won't stop.
Yes. Well, and that's something I'm trying to figure out how to... I don't...
You know what you have to do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's okay. Something... that's why I was looking at training and trying to figure out... because I know it's ineffective to just yell no about everything. It doesn't really work. Like... oh, man.
Oh, man. Yeah, Chuck used to... so it was a one-bedroom apartment, and he would, like, grab a shoe and run into the other room because he knew he wasn't supposed to. And I'd chase after him, and by the time I would get to him, he would have bitten through the shoe.
Oh, yeah.
And then he would run around the kitchen and go back into the bedroom, and he would get underneath our bed and hide.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he ate shoes, and he ate clothes, and he chewed the wall.
Chewed the wall.
Yeah, he would, like, interesting. Especially when they're teething like that. Like, sometimes they're like babies where they're just like, I gotta gnaw, right?
On anything, yeah.
When we finally got a trainer, so I thought it would be funny. God, this is so stupid when I think back about it. I thought it would be funny to say, speak for your food, right? So I would get him to bark before he would eat.
Oh, yeah. That probably backfired pretty quick. Yeah,
well, the trainer came and he's like, what are you doing? Why would you ever do that?
Oh, wow.
I said, yeah, it did get pretty annoying pretty fast.
Oh, man. She doesn't bark a lot. I think mostly because I don't even know if she really has a bark, to be honest with you. I think I've heard it once.
Yeah.
But she kind of whimpers. She growls, like, and she'll play tug. And she's actually very good at playing. Like, she can play without just wanting to gnaw on your hands.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like she's kind of already noticing, like, if I go into the kitchen with her and I pick up this one bowl with little dog bones on it, she sits down and waits.
Ah. Like,
she knows what's in it. But she is, oh my God, the biting. And she eats everything outside. Everything. Which, grass, I've gotten over, but I mean... sticks, rocks, pine cones, mm-hmm. cigarettes, trash. Like, it doesn't matter. I've picked so much out of... I picked an old piece of chewing gum out of her mouth this morning in the half dark.
A whole piece of chewing gum?
An old piece. Yeah, a whole piece, but definitely pre-chewed. Yeah. So that was really awesome. And it's hard. I mean, I'm crate training or doing the best that I can with it. And I don't know how people don't.
Oh, I know. I mean,
because I would not be able to get anything done. The only time I can do anything is if she's asleep by choice or if she's in the crate. And then I have to go, and the crate's on the first floor, and I have to be in my office on the second floor, because if she hears me, she just whines.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a heartbreaking little whine.
Well, oh, she's, man, a puppy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Chuck did not enjoy his crate and would whimper all the time. And he did not sleep through the night for a couple of months. Like, he would have to get up and go to the bathroom. And I lived on the second floor of an apartment building, and I had to run down the hall, down two flights of stairs, and then there was, like, one patch of grass. And we would do that, like, once or twice a night for two straight months.
So he would wake up and whimper, and then... yeah. Okay.
And I would just run him outside. So the trainer man, my God, he is the most brilliant trainer. He told us first to put a sheet over the crate because most crates you can see out of.
And yep, that mine's a wire crate, so same. Yeah. And I've heard that, but I haven't tried it yet.
Yeah, Coco has a sheet over her crate. It sort of makes it more cave-like, more they can't see. So they're like, oh, well, you know, I can't see you, so I'm not going to cry for you. Although they
right.
they can totally smell you.
And hear you.
And hear you, yeah. She, Coco, actually recognizes my gait, and she knows it's me coming in the door, so she doesn't run to it, because she knows that I will not acknowledge her existence until she calms down.
Wow.
And she screams when anybody else comes through the door.
But she knows you're not going to fuck with that. She's like, no, not worth it.
I should post a video of how crazy she screams. So he also told us to feed Chuck in the crate. And so he
I just read that this morning.
Yes. Yeah, so it's a good association with the crate. He sold us some tripe. Do you know what tripe is?
No.
I believe that it is like a raw fish. Anyway, he's like, try this first. And what you do is you tell him to go to his crate. And like you teach him crate. Like you teach him where the crate is and to go to his crate. And so
So when you say that, like, they know it's a location.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what I did is I, tripe, because it's raw, has a very, 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 very distinct smell.
Okay.
And we opened the can, and he was flipping out when we opened the can. So I put it in his bowl, and I walked over to his crate, and I said, crate. And he ran to the crate, and then I went back into the kitchen with the tripe and he followed me back. And I literally, it took that one time and I said, crate. And he ran to the crate.
Really?
Yes. He ran and stood there and waited for me. And I walked back in and I sat the bowl down and he literally gulped it in one like gigantic inhalation.
With tripe. Okay. Cause I do think I have like some just little dog treats, mm-hmm. but I feel like I need to get something higher stakes than that.
Yeah.
That's really worthwhile.
Because mm-hmm.
I give her, like, when she goes to the bathroom outside, I'll, you know, give positive reinforcement and then give her a little treat.
Yeah.
And she's actually been pretty decent about it. But.
Do you put her in the crate when you leave the house?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, she would, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's already tried to chew on the sofa. So.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's a kind of fabric where her little teeth would just shred it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be buying some pet gates.
Oh, my God. I forgot about those. Oh, that's right.
She doesn't know there's a second floor. Like she hasn't realized there are stairs. I do not plan to show her. Not now. I'm not ready for there to be even more places for her to be. Because she can be everywhere. And my house is still a one-bedroom apartment.
Yeah.
Because all the furniture can't be, it can actually be moved back today. That's on my list for tonight, but everything is still in one room. And fortunately, the one room that it's in is the one room that still has carpeting in it. So it's a good reason to keep her out of there anyway. And having two empty rooms connected with new hardwood and a puppy is actually pretty ideal.
Yeah.
Because she can run around. She's only had like two accidents in the house. Both on, well, one on linoleum and one on hardwood.
So one on land and one by sea.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But the fact that there are these big empty rooms, we can kind of be in there with her
mm-hmm.
and throw her toys and play with her. And there's not like, we don't have to keep her from chewing on the furniture
right.
or from doing this or that, which is awesome. But I think it took her like 20 minutes of being at my house to pee on the hardwood. So that was fun. Like just immediately after we had been outside, after she had peed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also never realized, and maybe this is me. I have a feeling this is just a thing you do with pets or dogs, but how much I would be talking to her like nonstop. whether it's telling her not to do something or telling her she did something well or encouraging her to walk or asking her not to drag a stick that's three times the size of her body. It's just nonstop conversation, one-sided conversation.
One-sided conversation. That's usually very stern.
Yeah, it's either very stern or it's, did you just go pee? Oh, good girl. Out on a street corner with 10 people standing there. It's just a weird... I mean, it is like suddenly you have a baby. Like everyone who's going to have a kid, like they don't know if they're going to be a good parent. They're not sure how they're going to do it. They don't know what they're going to do. And then the kid is there and you're... Something switches in your brain.
Yeah.
And you have this different voice and you have different mannerisms. And I feel like it's the exact same thing with a dog. Mm-hmm.
So Cowboy has some security cameras in the living rooms that we have.
Okay.
And I'm sure, like sometimes I'll work at the countertop just to get a change of scenery on my laptop. And I'm sure if he would looks at the footage, it's just me going, stop, stop it, stop. 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 Stop it. Stop.
Yeah, that sounds like my day.
And she's 11 years old.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
There was, I don't know if I've ever told this story. I was at home alone with Chuck when we adopted him because that was right after I lost my job. And so I was doing all this freelance work. And so I was the one doing most of the, like, being with him and training him and all that. And like you said, it's like non-stop. I mean, you have like these moments where you think they're going to calm down for like 15 minutes and you may get like a 15-minute break from their craziness. But it's always with the anticipation that it's going to start up again. So I was
exactly.
Like, I was on edge all the time. And so I started getting up and walking him pretty far in the neighborhood and every morning just to try to get his energy out. And it just never worked. And one day I sort of ran with him through the neighborhood and we got home, I took a shower. I came out of the shower and he was lying on the couch, not doing anything.
Okay.
And I kind of walked around the apartment, came back and he was lying on the couch and he looked up at me. And then he put his head back down. And I immediately called my trainer and I was like, what's wrong with him? What's wrong? What happened? And he's like, oh, yeah. Okay. So it's a dog. And eventually what they do is they sleep all the time. So he's turning into a dog. But I'm
already ready for that.
Right?
I'm so ready for
but
that.
But it scared the shit out of me because it just happened all of a sudden. He just... started to sleep for like an extended periods of time. So
to the point where like eventually you'd have to like motivate him to get up.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds so nice.
I know.
I mean, and she does, when she does sleep, it's for a good chunk of time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, I guess I was ignorant to think that for some periods of her being awake, I could also exist in my own world. And that is just not an option.
No.
I mean, it's been good because Lexton is absolutely in love with her and they get along really well. So we tag team it, which helps, but it's like tag teaming out of desperation. I need you to take her outside for 15 minutes so that I can sob in the corner. Then you can come back in and I will take over again. Thankfully, the weather has been good. I have like a screened-in porch, mm-hmm. so I can be out there with her, and there's really nothing for her to destroy, and she can still kind of be outside. But again, and this was something I was just reading online too, is I kind of had this idea of like, here are some toys. I will be here with you. You can play and burn some energy. That is not what they do. It's like if you're not entertaining them, it's because they're sleeping. Mm-hmm. But if they're awake, you need to be entertaining them. You could have like a basket of toys. It doesn't matter. She'll chew on one for 2 minutes and then wants me to pull it or me to throw it yes. or they're me to very, do something.
Puppies are very codependent like that, you know?
Like, oh, yeah.
You must be interacting with me if I'm awake.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's cute. And when I don't have work to do or things to do, it's great. But wow.
Yeah.
It is something.
Because we lived in an apartment, we always had to have him on leash when we went outside. And we met so many people. I don't know if this is happening to you, or it probably will, but if you walk her in any sort of like populated space, you start to meet people. It instantly happens. Like we met so many people within the first week of having him, because everybody stops and asks, you know, what kind of dog is he? He's so cute. What's his name? And this is my dog. And yeah.
Oh yeah. That has already happened. And I've tried to take her out in areas that might have people but aren't crazy busy. Mm-hmm. Just because she's still very small and young, but absolutely every single person, like kids, elderly people, family, it's crazy. Like everyone wants to stop and pet the dog and what's her name and how old is she and what kind of dog is she? And which is fine. I mean, I don't mind interacting, but it makes me realize too, how many people I pass without even a nod.
Yeah.
Like I would never interact if it weren't for the dog. And I will say, I went right after adopting her to, I don't know, a pet store. I don't remember which one it was, PetSmart or something, with a friend of mine. We were in the aisle, and I think she was holding Lily, and our backs were to our cart, which was blocking the aisle. And all of a sudden, this lady just goes, "Excuse me," like super bitchy, because the cart was in the way. And we turn around, and the second she sees the dog, she's like, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Don't even worry about it." Just immediately. It was crazy. But it is, there's a lot of attention. So much attention. And she loves it, which is great.
Yeah.
And she seems to be pretty good when people have come up to see her and pet her. She's not so bitey that she like bites everyone all the time. Which is nice, because it's always my concern that they're going to come over and pet her and all she's going to want to do is bite their fingers off. But that's been okay for the most part. But I think most people that approach dogs like with that much enthusiasm are dog people. So they just know, like, this is a puppy. She's probably going to behave in this way. And I'm ready for that.
Boy dogs. Okay. Dogs that are born with male parts. You're supposed to get them fixed before a certain time because they can learn to mark.
Oh.
Yeah. So Chuck, we didn't get him fixed in time, and he learned to mark everything. He would walk down the street and mark grass, and then the next blade of grass. He'd lift his leg and pee.
But just like a little tiny bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's just to sort of like claim it, right? And we never cured him of this. It's an instinct, and if we let him, he would stop and mark everything. I have so many pictures of Chuck with his leg lifted, and we met this couple in the neighborhood in Los Angeles who had a gigantic black lab mix, and he and Chuck just, his name is George, and they just loved each other.
Chuck and George.
Oh yeah. And she came over one time just to say hello. And she was a super I forgot what she did. She worked in the entertainment industry, and she was, you know, dressed beautifully. And she had on how do you say it? My God, it's been so long since I've Manalo Blahniks.
Yeah.
She had on very, 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 very expensive shoes, and Chuck marked her.
Oh my God. Are you kidding me? He beat on her shoe?
Yes.
Oh, and how did she? Oh,
she was laughing. Wow. She's like, you know, it's a dog, whatever, you know. So
that's about the best possible reaction you could ask for.
Yeah, I was like, I'm so sorry. She's like, who cares? They did not crate train their dog, and he's gigantic. And she lived a few apartments down from us, and you could hear him barking all day long. He would bark in that apartment all day long.
And that's like a booming
bark. Yeah. And it was all hardwood floor and Spanish style tile, so it would echo in their apartment.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Great train.
I can't. Oh, yeah. I can tolerate barking like in a certain setting and for so long, but when it's just nonstop, oh man.
Yeah. Because we could only walk Chuck on leash and our trainer told us never to take him to a dog park only because some dogs are ill-behaved and can leave sort of, you know, traumatic experiences in the brain of your dog.
I've actually heard that from a number of people, that dog parks are not as great as they seem.
Yeah, I can't take Coco to a dog park. Not at all. Never.
Because she'll herd them all or what?
She will scream and herd and chase all of them. Yeah. In a bad way. Not in a fun, let's play way. In a,
right.
I fucking hate you and I will destroy you.
Right. I own you all now.
Yeah. So when we moved from Los Angeles back to Utah, we drove up the coast of California and up to Seattle to where Jex's brother lived.
Okay.
And they had a house and they had an older yellow lab. Lovely, friendliest dog ever. And they had a giant backyard. And when we got there, we let Chuck into the backyard. And he looked around and was like, what the fuck? And he just started running back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Like literally for 30 minutes. And that,
just because he wasn't tethered.
Yeah. And their dog, his name was Cosmo. Cosmo just sat there. And it was like he was watching tennis. He just went back and like, what is that dog doing? Just back and forth and back and forth. But yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if we talked about this, but I can't have Lily out at all off leash, even in my fenced in yard.
She'll get, because there are hawks.
Because there are hawks. She is. I was walking her, and because it's spring and, you know, everything is coming back to life, there's a lot of squirrels out. And it occurred to me that she is just a long-legged squirrel. Like, that is her size. Mm-hmm. She weighs, I don't know, 3 pounds or something. So there's nothing to her.
Uh-huh.
But that makes it even harder because the yard is fenced, and it would be great to just say, go in the yard. Or even if I had to be out there with her but didn't actually have to be within, you know, leash distance, but I can't. So everywhere she goes to sniff, like, I just follow along. Which,
that's a lot of work. That is so much work.
It is. It is a lot of work. And she always pees more than once, and somehow she poops like 3 times, and I don't know why she doesn't just get it all out. But for God's sake.
Yeah, Coco has started to walk as she poops. She starts to move forward, and so the poops sort of makes a line.
God. Oh, man.
And so they're also, so we would let Chuck and Coco into the backyard, and Chuck would be like, ah, yeah, this is the life. Coco would go pee and come straight back to the door and scratch the door to get back in. She does
not.
Is
that because she doesn't like outside, or she doesn't want to be far from?
She doesn't want to be far from us.
Okay.
And
interesting. Wow.
Oh yeah, she's never been. She cannot laze outside.
What if you're sitting outside?
If I'm sitting, she'll stay.
Interesting. Wow.
And I think I mentioned in this house, she really can't sit at a door and scream at anything passing by, like she did at the other house. So I go down, and it's not a, well, I guess it is kind of a basement, but it's a walkout basement where I work in the house. And she comes and she sits next to me all day long, which.
Wow. And just sleeps and lays and.
Yeah.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of sweet though.
It's really, and you don't have to play with her all day. I mean, I've really, she and I, you know, have gotten close, especially now that the kids are getting older and aren't as in the house as much, because she would normally just be watching them. So she's like with me now more than ever. And it's really sweet, I guess.
And was she like that when Chuck was still around?
She was always, always, always wondering where Marlo was. Like, where's Marlo? Where's Lita? Where are they? And she would position herself in the house to make sure that she could sense where everybody was. And it was really, it was amazing because it was so strategic how she would do it. And so she never really like set up my feet to, you know, to like be with me. She was always, you know, working.
Right.
Yeah.
That is really sweet though.
It's very sweet.
I mean, I do like, I mean, even when Lily is insane, it is nice, like having that little companion, like that presence, you know?
Yes, it is. It's incredible. Once they calm down and you can have a little bit of control over their behavior, it's really comforting to have her there.
At this point, if she could just lose all of her baby teeth for a while, that would be great. Just like a week without any teeth would be pretty awesome.
I collected all of Chuck's teeth. I still have them somewhere.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I've heard like sometimes you see them, sometimes they eat them. It kind of depends.
Yeah.
I mean, hers are just so damn small.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And then you watch your dog get older, and it's... I mean, she's tough. Still very spry, but I can tell that she is experiencing a little bit of pain going up and down the stairs in her back hind legs.
Plus, you've had a dog, too.
Yeah.
Like, so I feel like you are... I mean, I haven't had a dog in so long that I'd probably pick up on some of these things, but you are way more aware.
Yeah. I'm with her all the time. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And she's kind of an old lady now, right?
Yeah, she's 11 years old. Yeah.
Wow. And still on duty, which is pretty awesome.
She, fuck, man, the squirrels in this neighborhood are crazier than they've ever been, and... She watches them on the power lines and in the trees, and she knows that she's not supposed to, but sometimes she can't control herself, and she just starts screaming. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Chuck never barked.
He wasn't a barker, like, at all?
He maybe barked, like, once or twice every year, maybe.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that's, yeah, no. That's how my... dog was, like, that my family had. He never barked at all. He didn't bark when people came to the door. He didn't bark when we got home. He was always happy, and he would come to the door.
Yeah.
But never had any interest, which was amazing. I never really knew what you meant by screaming until I got this puppy. Now I get it. It sounds like a very large rodent is being tortured.
Yeah.
That is exactly what it, and it, I don't know, and I've watched her, and she doesn't even really move her mouth that much.
Right.
It's like she just opens it, and this scream, just, oh my God, it's unbelievable. And it just carries through the house. I can hear it through the closed door.
I've got to get a video of what happened. It's a screaming howl. Talk. And there was a reporter here last week, and she came in, and Coco lost her mind, and then the reporter was like, "Is she okay?" And I was like, "Yeah."
Oh, really?
She's just happy.
That bad?
Yeah, it was that bad. And she had to run out to her car to get something, and then she came back in, and Coco did it again, and she's like, "I have never been around a dog who talks." I'm like, yeah. Cowboy and his daughter have determined that the sound coming out of her voice is, she says, rah, 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 but it's screaming in all different sorts of keys.
Right.
And Cowboy joked, he's like, I think she's saying error, error, error.
Error. Oh my God. Whenever something is wrong.
No, it was just like, I've got an error in my brain and I can't control my reactions.
Oh, wow. But she's doing that with a wagging tail. Like, she's excited. That's just her way of...
Oh, yeah. So, people are going to judge you a lot for everything that you do with your dog.
Like the good and the bad, you mean?
Yeah. So they have, people have very, very strong opinions about it, you know. You knew this.
So it really is exactly like parenting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Coco came to us with a docked tail. We did not dock it.
I don't know what that means.
So they dock tails very early on because certain tails in certain breeds can, they get very, very long and hairy and can interfere with their duties.
Okay. So like they cut the tail.
Yeah. Okay. So she has a little nub of a tail. There's a Twitter account that I follow all about Aussies. And
okay.
I know. Well, I'm trying to like get away from angry Twitter.
Since it's a good place to start.
And the pinned tweet on this account is a video of like 30 different Australian shepherds, and they have a wiggle butt. That's what it's called.
Okay.
So when they get happy, their butt starts to wiggle, just their butt. That is the only part. And it really is like a, almost like a Latin dance, like wiggle, 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 wiggle.
That's so awesome. And that's because the tail has been shortened. Is that like what leads to that?
It's part of the breed. Like that's just how they wag their tail. That's how they show their happiness, is just the butt part.
That's pretty awesome, honestly. That's pretty great. Just the butt part.
Just the butt part. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm kind of prepared for like people to tell me that crate training is bad. And
yep.
If I wasn't doing crate training, they would tell me that was bad. And then yep. If I feed this food, that's bad. It's like parenting. Like as long as you're genuinely trying to do what you think is best with good intention, like just do what you got to do.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to use the wrong leash, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's a right leash and there's the wrong leash. And
well, she's on a cat leash because she's very small.
She's on a cat leash.
She's on a cat leash, yeah. And the, I think, extra small or double XS harness that is still a little on the big side.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's very tiny.
I've gotten so much shit for the gentle lead that I use with Coco. People think I have muzzled her, when all it does is it really is the only way that I can walk her. It's this leash that goes over her nose and around the top of right behind her ears.
Okay.
And it all it does is you yank it a little bit and it pulls her head up to look at you. You're not hurting her. You're basically alerting her that she needs to stop being a crazy bitch.
And right.
A lot of people use it because certain dogs are really hard to walk. And I've posted a ton of pictures of her on Instagram, and invariably someone is like, I can't believe you muzzle your dog. Why are you muzzling your dog? So.
Because you need to.
Like, I can't walk. I can't. She can't go on a walk without it. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just need to. To be used to doing everything wrong.
And, you know, you're not supposed to let your dog eat whipped cream, John.
It was a puppuccino, damn it. And it was worth every single second of it. I have only fed her. I have food from a friend of mine that's like human grade, all natural, minimally processed. I don't know, all this stuff. But I bought like lots of different things just to figure it out, because the people who are fostering her, they're like, her diet will be very simple for you. It's just rotisserie chicken from Costco, fresh salmon, And I laughed. And I'm like, no, that's really what we give her every meal. I was like, okay, I'm not going to do that. So going to have to figure something else out.
Yeah. I know those people who cook their dog's food. Yeah.
Which I'm not judged. That just seems like a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
And I don't even have time to work or eat at the moment. So the easier, the better.
Yeah.
And if that means a puppuccino, then damn it, it's a puppuccino. I didn't even want to order that. I felt so weird actually asking for that. Like, oh man.
You also will start to hear the craziest horror stories from people about their dog.
Oh, great.
Yeah. There's a woman in Los Angeles who had a King Charles Spaniel, something like that. It's a smaller dog, Spaniel. Very, very expensive breed. And it ate a whole box of tampons one night.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That was emergency surgery.
Because they're expanding.
I was about to ask if you know that they expand.
Oh my God. That would be it's worse than a bird eating rice. I feel like. Oh my God.
An entire box of tampons.
I can't even understand how that would be an enjoyable experience. That's what for I was going
to. Why? It doesn't. My trainer, I keep going back to him. I wish everybody who had a dog could just sit down with this man for 10 minutes. He's like, most of the way a dog eats is because of the smell. They don't have nearly as many taste buds as we do, but they can smell things. And so a lot of what they're eating is because they're smelling it. And that's the enjoyment of their food. And so what about it's a box of unused tampons.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, I guess their sense of smell is better, but I still can't imagine.
What is so alluring about a box of tampons?
No, I mean, if it was it broke into my pantry and ate a bag of chips or I get that. Something that's equally aromatic. I don't understand that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard horror stories about dogs eating socks that get stuck in their intestines and just terrible things.
You know about the corn dog stick, right?
No.
Sort of a legendary story early on. I think it was our first 4th of July here. We were at a party and a kid was standing there holding a corn dog and he inhaled it out of that kid's hand, the whole thing.
Who did?
Chuck.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He inhaled the entire corn dog, stick included, and was perfectly fine. And we were like, okay, what do we do?
So you knew it was a corn dog at the time? You knew what had happened?
I watched it happen. Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. Oh, man.
Yeah. The kid was just stunned. It just disappeared out of his hand. So we waited for his distress and it sort of never happened. And 4 weeks later, he stopped eating and he stopped drinking. And that is one of the major signs that something is wrong with your dog.
Right.
And he would not, I broke out bacon. I broke out raw meat and he didn't even look at it. So I took him to the vet. And told the vet what had happened. And she's like, okay, so let's do an x-ray. Didn't see anything on the x-ray at all. And so she's like, this is what we're going to do. We're going to inject him they injected him with a crazy amount of water.
Okay.
Maybe to flush out his system. I think that's what the point was. And Jex and I had to have a really hard conversation about what do we pay? How much money do we pay for, fixing this?
Did you come up with a number? Did you actually settle on something?
I said to him, I will, mortgage the house. I will sell everything. This is my dog. I devoted my life to him. And we were we took him to a park just to see if he would like run around a little bit. And he saw one of his friends and he ran over to the friend, dog friends. And then he ran back to us and like looked up and started turning in circles and circles and circles and circles. And all of a sudden he pooped. And there was an intact corn dog stick in his
poop. Intact?
Intact.
It fucking traveled through his intestines. Oh my God.
Intact. People thought it was a hoax. It was intact, the whole thing.
Chuck was a hell of a dog on so many levels. Honestly, oh my God. Wow. So this was after they injected him with water. Like, we're going to give him the water and see what happens.
Yeah, I think the water flushed it out of his system. So.
Oh, man. That's terrifying, but also pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. Pretty impressive, right?
Wow. Yeah, because, I mean, you'd think something like that could be lethal.
Oh, you would think that it would, like, rip up his entire, like, insides.
Oh, yeah. Like his stomach, and if it made it past, I mean, it'd be terrible.
Yeah. So.
Wow. Hell of a dog.
So we never let him around corn dogs ever again.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh, wow.
Yeah. But can I just say that I've calmed down. Like I woke up this morning in just a state of panic. So it's good to talk about dogs.
It is. I was going to ask, though. I mean, I feel like we kind of have to touch on, you know, book tour prep, PR, things like that, because you are at a point where there is a lot going on and there is only more to come for like a good 2 to 3 months.
I have probably 30 emails just from the last hour about stuff that I need to get to certain publications, and I need to get to my publisher, and I need to get to the hotel in this one city, and at the same time, I have two children who are so absent-minded that I'm just. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's a lot that I can't catch up with, and it's really daunting, and I'm just having to breathe through it like I'm in labor.
Yeah. Now, this is probably an ignorant question, but once you're actually on the road, which I know is pretty constant for a while, will the publicist, like the PR, will they be able to field some of what's happening, or are you going to have to be on the road going to book events and still doing all of that same email as you're going?
This is the thing that I think I'm going to be okay with the logistics of everything, because I've done it before. I know how it works.
Like the traveling and movement, you mean?
Yeah. And showing up, and it's just a lot of, like, it's nonstop. It's a nonstop, I go from one event to another event to another event to one media thing to another media thing to another media thing.
So every stop that you're making, in addition to like a book event, you have other stuff going on.
Yeah, like when I'm
for the book.
I get to New York almost at like midnight, and then I'm on the Today Show the next morning, and right after the Today Show, I am taping a podcast, and then I'm going to a studio to do a show here in Salt Lake.
Okay.
And then there's a book reading that night. And then there's more media the next day, and then I fly out to Toronto that day.
Damn.
So that's sort of like the like nutshell of how it goes. But the thing that I have to prepare myself for, and it's already started to happen from the people who've read it, is the people have been affected extensively by suicide and have stories to tell and stories they want to share. And I think even more than my book about postpartum, people are going to be coming to me during these events and sharing really deeply emotional things. And I have to, you know, gear myself up for that because I'm already a very, very, I cry very easily.
Right.
I mean,
wanting
I almost
to get all of those stories, like, which is amazing. Like, I think it's great that people will feel comfortable sharing those things, but to get one after the other, after the other, after the other, then get on a plane, then get one after the other, after, like, that's a heavy emotional load.
And I'll, you know, Cowboy is coming with me. My mother said that he's going to have to carry my baggage literally and figuratively. Just to sort of get me through. Yeah. But they have they have handlers at bookstores during signings to move the line through. And I don't know how many people are going to show up. I have no idea. But they move the line through or try to get the line through it, not as quickly as possible, but just in a timely manner. And I'm going to want to give these people, I want to show up for them. I want to hear them. I want to listen to them. And I'm sure that their handlers are going to be like, okay, it's time to go. And there's going to be a tiny little bit of like tension there, I think. Maybe not, but that's something I need to gear up for.
Yeah. I mean, I think, and it's so hard to know exactly how everyone is going to connect with the book.
Yeah.
Because there's so many different possible ways to connect, whether it's like yourself directly, a family member, a friend, like it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
It will definitely be an emotional, even if you don't cry, it will be an emotional ride.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people have connected with the story of my family too. You know, there's familial connections here. And so
like the dynamic and
yeah.
So, oh yeah.
But I am going directly from here to getting my hair done. There's a photographer coming over in a couple of hours and we'll be here for the rest of the day. And, Lita has a doctor appointment and Marlo has an orthodontic appointment tomorrow. And it's sort of like, okay, I don't know really. I've given up on the idea of catching up.
So, oh yeah. I think you kind of have to. You have to let go or you're going to go crazy.
I'm giving away book plates to people who pre-ordered the book. I spent 2.5 hours on Sunday doing book plates and I didn't even get through a fourth of them. And my hand was, I couldn't move my hand at that point. It was so cramped. And
oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. And so I've just got to figure out how to get all of that done before I leave. Because when I leave, I'm gone for 5 days straight for 3 straight weeks.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Lita has good handwriting, right? Have her do them.
You know, it's so funny to me when people send me email and they'll say, "Hi, Lita, I know you're the one answering the email." And it's like...
People actually say that?
Yeah. I've had that said to me several times. You're crazy if you think I'm going to let her into my inbox.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm just going to go ahead and admit we were watching the OA and we finished it 2 nights ago.
Okay. I've heard it's good. I've never seen it though.
Yeah. It was season 2 and she came into the, we watched TV in our bedroom and she came into the bedroom to turn on the TV and there was a description of what had just been watched on the television. And she's like, "What?"
Oh God.
And I was like, "Quickly, turn off, leave the room, let me fix this. I gotta fix this."
Oh, God. Oh, wow.
I may be old, but I'm not dead.
Oh, God. Oh, wow.
Anyway, yeah, here we go.
Wow. And it was probably tasteful, though.
It was very tasteful.
It's really all that matters.
It was only a description. It was only like the title.
Right.
And she was just like, what on earth?
Oh, yeah. Title's definitely enough, though, in most cases. Pretty sure that was adequate. Yeah. And that's kind of how we're going to wrap up our conversation on dogs, is with some tasteful porn.
And tasteful. You use the word. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We should also probably let people know we haven't really figured out the logistics of continuing MRS during this book tour. That's not to say that we won't necessarily, but it's going to be a challenge. So there might be a few quiet weeks.
Yeah.
But we'll do our best to keep everyone posted and see if we can squeeze in a recording with all of Heather's free time. So much of it.
Yeah, and we would love to hear your horror stories about your dog getting into the chocolate. Don't let your dog eat chocolate or raisins or grapes.
Chocolate, raisins, or grapes, okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of poisonous things for dogs. We would love to hear your stories of your lovely puppies and your puppuccinos. You can write us stories@manicramblings.com. And find us online, Facebook, Instagram. What's the other one? Twitter. At Manic Ramblings. And on Patreon, patreon.com/ManicRamblings.
Yes.
Yes. And until next time.
Don't get a puppy.
Don't get a puppy. I think
don't
that's the
it.
Moral of the story here.
just don't. Trust us on this.
Many thanks to Tan Lines for the soundtrack, to Lisa Congdon for the cover art, and to Ryan Coomer for his expertise with the editing stuff.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.